However, if we don't start now, we have a sitting this afternoon. So it will definitely catch with us. So we have to start. I welcomed on behalf of the committee everyone. Mr. Balsa, are leading the delegation for Water Affairs. Water Affairs is here. Honorable Nathan, they are from Salga. Someone from COPTA. Can you identify yourself, sir?
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Werner Heidenrath, Acting Executive Manager, Infrastructure Development at COPTA.
We'll come back to you. We have the National Treasury. We have the Office of the Auditor General represented here, and FFC. There is someone who that's reported from, Ms. Dowd is there from FFC. COPTA. I know that COPTA doesn't take this committee seriously. We normally want to have the senior officials of the department. As is happening with the other departments, but COPTA doesn't really take this committee seriously. And we invited everyone here because we want to deal with a new grant that is supposed to be administered by Dwarf. Oh, it's not Dwarf now. It's Dwarf? Okay. Now, we have invited all of you here because we want to ensure that the roles that each one of us have to play are clear. I don't know. Well, as the Standing Committee on Appropriation, we're dealing with the division of revenue. Well, through that process, before we pass the bill, we need to understand ourselves and be convinced that the grant that is will be that the grant that we will be passing will be a grant that there are clear arrangements or proper arrangements in terms of the administration of a branch, the stakeholders, are also clear about what is supposed to happen. So, honored members, we don't have a lot of time. I just want to say, in terms of the medium-term budget policy statement of 2012, the minister did report about this grant. In fact, the MTBPS document, page 40, it just says for local government conditional grants. Says, quote, in 2012-13, a new direct grant for water infrastructure administered by the Department of Water Affairs will enable the department to help municipalities deliver clean drinking water to households. So, Marvin Edling, we invited you as Salga to just confirm with us that the all systems are in place to ensure the rolling out of this grant. So but at this stage, maybe we should allow Department of Water Affairs. Honored members, just bear with us. Department of Water Affairs, up to this morning, their presentation was not ready. And we have a rule as a committee that we would like to have presentations at least 3 days before the committee meeting, so that members could familiarize themselves with the presentation. I don't want us to get into why was the presentation not delivered to us on time. But I do want the specialist Department of Water Affairs, the main department, lead department on this grant, to take note that in future, do not feel bad if you are asked to go until members familiarize themselves with your documentation. But without much ado, let's just get into the presentation. Mr. Papa, you'll introduce your team.
Honourable Chair, members, good morning. I'm Trevor Balser, Acting DG for the Department. If I could just introduce the team that I have with me. On my immediate right, I've got Vincent Monana from the CIO office. And across from me, I'm going to start with Matt Tondaka Mbasa, who's the DDG Regions. Next to her is, on her right, is Ntanta Nkosi, who is the chair of our task team responsible for looking at this particular interim water supply project. Next to him on his right, I've got George Constantinides, who is one of the technical staff serving and making input to that task team. And on the left of Tondaka, a gentleman just next to the pillar there, Stephen Murray, is from our chief director. Thanks, Stephen. Stephen Murray, who's from our chief directorate water services in the department, and they're responsible for helping us with the planning around the work that we do within the municipalities. So, Chair, that's the extent of my delegation at this stage. I might have the parliamentary officer joining us, Errol Makhoba, as well. I'm still hoping that he will join us. But, Chair, thank you for that. And I've taken note of the comments up front with regard to us not having met your rule with regard to having presentations available in 3 days, for which I apologize. If I could then go through the presentation, Chair.
Let's just get everyone to introduce themselves.
Okay.
One of Maitlink and your team. You want to introduce your team?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On my right-hand side, we've got our specialist, that is Mutabeli Kulisa, and behind me is William Moroka. They are the guys in the office that work on this project. Thank you. The lady in the back, she's our parliamentary office.
Chairperson, it's just myself and Thabo, the guardian of parliamentary office.
Good morning, Chair. Steve Kenyon from National Treasury from Intergovernmental Relations, and apologies to the committee from Marissa Moore, Chief Director, Urban Development and Infrastructure, who fell ill last night and is unable to join us. On my right is Timber Keeley, likely from our parliamentary office.
Can we just be rude to gentlemen from the Office of the AG? Can you borrow us that space there? For our member? Yeah, thank you very much. You want to introduce yourself? Well, maybe as part of the work of your office, you can audit if all these mics are in order. That's fine.
Okay, that's
fine.
Okay, Mr.
Bass,
how about you, sir?
Just in terms of the content of the presentation, would you mind if I took my jacket off, Chair?
Yes,
can I remove my jacket?
As long as you're not going to fight.
No, it's fine. Just easier to work without the jacket on here. Thanks.
I know it's hot. Yeah, so.
Chair, just in terms of the structure of the presentation, I'm just going to give some background and overview just so that we understand the genesis of this particular project, touch on implementation readiness, touch on some of the challenges and risks, and then I'll make some concluding remarks, Chair. Just in terms of background and overview, this project, in terms of the departments, the way we have are looking at it in the department, we make reference to it as our interim and immediate water supply program, which was initiated in 2012 by the Minister, and that was done in recognition of the plight of many people without services, particularly in rural areas. And at that time, the Minister was particularly concerned about the 5.3% of the population which still doesn't have access to safe
drinking water supply after 18 years of our democracy. And that was the start of us putting together this project. It was then focused more in onto the 24 district municipalities with the highest backlogs, and that was in line with a decision that was taken by Cabinet in terms of focusing on those particular district municipalities, and also for us to try and address the water backlogs by 2014. Based on our current progress, it was evident that we wouldn't meet that 2014 targets of ours. The program was initiated by the department as part of its leadership role, and as I said, with the by direction of the minister, and the program will facilitate solutions and, where possible, direct support and funding in areas that are not covered by existing projects. When I say not covered by existing projects, that's projects which are either funded through the regional bulk infrastructure grant, or through MIG, or through one of the other targeted programs in the department, which is the accelerated infrastructure program, where some of the department's own budget is utilized. Also, with regard to some budget that is utilized by the department in terms of our rapid response facility, where if there are areas where there are service delivery disruptions, where we utilize services from the department to bring services back to operation. There is a risk at the moment of us not meeting the 2014 service delivery targets for basic services to all South Africans. As I said, this program is intended to do that. A key problem identified towards that target is not necessarily funding, but also not necessarily only funding, but also institutional capacity and effective planning. So the interim and immediate water supply was envisaged by Water Affairs as a grant in kind, where the department, together with water boards and other sector partners, could play a more direct role in assisting the water service authorities in overcoming their challenges. A key part of the envisaged program or approach was to deploy experts and engineers and capacitate and enable the municipalities to introduce quick solutions where possible. So the aim and purpose of the project is, first of all, not to duplicate other existing programs and initiatives, but to supplement them where there are gaps, and also to provide some short-term and quick-win solutions. So, Chair, you'll see that as we go through the presentation, that and once we have a chance to go through some of the more detailed planning, that some of the solutions will indeed be interim solutions while we bring on, while we still don't have adequate bulk supply, but it's really intended to get access to have 100% coverage of the population of South Africa, and some of those solutions might be interim solutions as of now. What we will, however, try and do is to make sure that there's as little redundancy as possible in terms of those interim solutions. But we can't rule out that there might be some redundancy in terms of putting an interim solution in. The program also envisages addressing functionality, and if you look at the latest census data, it shows up quite alarming figures in terms of functionality on some of our water supply systems. So where we have, we show a 94.8% coverage. At any one time, some 30% of that infrastructure might not be operational. And the program is part of a new paradigm promoted by the department in terms of the source to tap and the tap to source notion, which Minister Molewa has certainly been pushing. The goals of the program is that all communities living in settlements greater than 50 households must receive a minimum interim water supply before 30 June 2015, either through a permanent water supply scheme or an interim or immediate water supply intervention. In addition, the interim and immediate water supply interventions will also facilitate a solution to the hotspot areas. Chair, we make reference in our documentation to hotspot areas, and those are in particular the areas where we've seen service delivery protests, or where we anticipate there could be problems when service delivery breaks down. COCTA have a different terminology. They refer to it, Sandeka. Vanna, just help me with the terminology which COCTA use. Chair, the COCTA reference has just gone out of my head. My apologies for that. But it's, sorry? No, it's just gone out of my head. My apology for that. But we refer to the hotspots areas, and it relates to those service delivery challenges, and the focus in this program, once again, will be on the 30 priority DMs that we have. The supplementary goals, firstly, is to maximize job creation. So there will be a strong emphasis placed on the development of jobs for unskilled rural people through the implementation of the strategy, and that will be done by ensuring labor-intensive construction methods are chosen, ensuring that interventions selected at job creation is one of the key selection criteria, ensuring that direct involvement of communities with regard to management of the water supply interventions, and then, of course, promoting the development of women cooperatives. Those are some of our supplementary goals around maximizing job creation. It's promoting innovation and really trying to get back to basics, also looking at indigenous technologies and new ideas. And this process has been adopted to allow for innovation, the adoption of indigenous solutions, introduction of new successful ideas, and that will be achieved through some research, community involvement and participation, through media campaigns, competitions if necessary, requesting submissions on innovation from the public and the private sector. The direct objectives of the interim and immediate water supply project are first of all, to facilitate and ensure adequate planning and the development of business plans for each WSA that will ensure the provision of interim and immediate water supplies for all of those communities. And I did, Chair, introduce Stephen Murray from our Chief Directorate responsible for planning in this regard. Under their guidance, and together with our provincial offices in each of the affected provinces, we've been engaging with the water services authorities, and I have brought with me, they were quite bulky to print copies for every member, but I will leave a set with you, Chair. I've brought with you some of the assessments that have been done for each of the affected or targeted municipalities, where there's been engagement with the department, with each of those municipalities to identify the needs and to confirm the needs on the ground, albeit that through the census we have an indication of the backlogs in each municipality and also the functionality. We've also, through that process and doing our planning, doing some what I would refer to as ground truthing. But I've got those documents here which I can leave with you. So we facilitate the involvement of various stakeholders to support the WSAs in the implementation. We identify and secure funds and support the implementation of the interim solutions where there are gaps in the allocation of funds from existing programs. So, Chair, in terms of any gaps there, we're also looking at the opportunity to see whether in those areas where we would use our water boards to assist us with implementation, to see whether we can indeed utilize some of the reserves that those water boards have to supplement the funding on the program. That's an issue which is, we'll have further discussion with the Minister as well. Item D is to assist the relevant WSAs to accelerate the implementation of various existing projects and interventions that are aimed at providing water supply services. E, identify where possible to provide additional training and support to ensure the sustainability and effective management of the various projects to be implemented. Part of the reason for many projects being dysfunctional at the moment is the issue of a lack of maintenance and lack of management capability within some of the affected municipalities. We've developed some definitions to help us to formulate the project. So a new water supply would be infrastructure that can be subsequently upgraded to supply a minimum basic water supply, and that's where we would hope much of the effort would go into, that we don't have any redundancy. A temporary water supply system that does not involve fixed infrastructure, that could be rainwater harvesting by way of example, C is an appropriate intervention that repairs or recommissions dysfunctional and existing infrastructure. Some of those areas which are don't have coverage at the moment would rely on getting water via infrastructure that's already on the ground, and that infrastructure might indeed be dysfunctional. So before we extend to supply a community that doesn't have water, we've got to make sure that the dysfunctional infrastructure is brought up to operation as well. It's the acceleration of the plant infrastructure projects to supply basic water. So we really make it, trying to make sure that this project moves faster than some of the projects we have been implementing up to now. E is a water supply system that makes use of optimal existing and localized water resources and can be developed and commissioned within a period of 12 months in order to provide minimum interim water supply. This could include local boreholes, seas, streams, single-purpose dams that are being converted to multi-purpose dams as well. The in terms of the just looking at our cost requirements, and I put this slide in, Chair, just to give us a sense of what we've identified as the needs across all of the district municipalities. In the first column on the left-hand side by province, we indicate what the infrastructure needs are, and that's a total of 757,700 households, or a population of 1.56 million. The cost that we estimate is the total cost is in the order of 27 billion, but in the 24 priority DMs, represent 21 billion of that cost. We also indicate there the households where we have no services at all in those 21 DMs, which amount to 635,000 households of the 757 nationally that we want to target. So in informal settlements, that's informal settlements, and then the other 170,000 is in informal settlements around our urban areas. But we're targeting, as I indicated, Chair, the 24 district municipalities. The scoping, and Chair, there are some gaps in terms of our engagement and the full scoping. While we've got a firm handle on the numbers in terms of no services, and we represent that in the fourth column there in terms of percentage of the total, we still are assessing some of the O&M needs in the Eastern Cape and the Northern Cape. So while you see gaps there, that doesn't mean that there's no O&M needs. It just means that the assessments haven't as yet been completed. So rather than provide inaccurate or incomplete information there, I've just left those the Eastern Cape and the Northern Cape under O&M needs blank. Looking at the categories of needs in the 24 DMs, we've categorized in four areas. First of all, communities having no formal water infrastructure represent 17.9% of the what we're trying to solve. Communities requiring extensions to existing infrastructure represents 35.8%, and that's where I made the reference to the fact that we actually need to make sure that that existing infrastructure is operational and functional before we actually do some of the extensions. Then communities with access to infrastructure but no access to water because of functional problems, that's that 28%, sorry, which I've just been talking about. Then item D is the communities with access to infrastructure but no access to water because of source problems. And that might be a source from a river, a borehole, a small dam or other. That's 18% of the problems. And within that category C, which is the communities with access to infrastructure but no access to water because of functionality problems, we also have broken that down into areas of where we'd require water conservation and demand management, and areas where we require refurbishment. So 15% requires us to focus on, in terms of water conservation demand management, and 13% on refurbishment. So that's how the numbers are made up, which were used as a basis for the allocation. We have engaged extensively, Chair, with National Treasury in terms of getting the grants approved. And as part of our interim and immediate water supply project, we motivated to National Treasury for approval of funds based on that holistic need that we'd identified. And in December, we were informed of the numbers that, or the budget that would in all probability be set aside for what National Treasury have referred to, and Chair, what you referred to in the MTBS on page 40, I think you said, was a new direct grant to municipalities. They've since, in terms of the draft Division of Revenue Bill, or the Division of Revenue Bill, make reference to it as the Municipal Water Infrastructure Grant. So we will make reference going forward to the MWIG as opposed to the MIG, the Municipal Infrastructure Grant. And over the 2013 MTF period, there's an allocation, a broad allocation of $4.3 billion set aside. The grant was approved as a Schedule 5 Part B, which is a specific purpose allocation to municipalities. We had motivated to National Treasury that it should be considered as a Schedule 6 Part B, and those discussions are ongoing. There's been discussion between myself and DG National Treasury, and also between my minister and the Minister of Finance in that regard. But as it's been published, it's a Schedule 5 Part B allocation. As I say, we've engaged with National Treasury around that, and we will review, on the basis of that engagement, we will review progress up until the point that we get to the any of the adjustment appropriation process later on this year to see whether there is indeed a need for us to relook at the way that grant is structured. But for implementation going forward right now, it's a Schedule 5, which does mean, Chair, that the actual start date for implementation of the program will therefore be the 1st of July of this year. So we're using the period between now and the 1st of July when these funds, we'd be able to transfer these funds or make payments to municipalities, the period between now and 1 July to complete and make sure that we've got all of our planning interventions in place. I've already spoken about the linkage between the interim and immediate water supply project and the MWIG, and I just also show some of the linkages there through from funding to program implementation. And the reason I show that there, Chair, is because there is, we're trying to make sure that there's total alignment, we are making sure that there's total alignment between the programs which the department is running at the moment, the RBIC, the ACIP, the programs being run by the water service authorities, the water boards, and then we'll also have a look, see how and if we can bring the private sector on board. And one example of the private sector and foreign donors being on board in terms of water conservation and demand management projects is the Mfuleni project, where together with the Mfuleni municipality and some funding by GIZ, the German funding agency, and Sasol, there's quite an extensive program on water conservation and demand management that's been implemented in the Mfuleni municipal area. And we hope to be able to, the lessons we learned from that, to take those forward to see whether we can also engage with other private sector organizations where they would be able to engage with us and the municipalities. Around the implementation, implementation at the moment, the focus will be on, we're using our own departmental construction unit where feasible, using the water services authorities where they've got capacity, and then also using water boards. One area requiring further further engagement and investigation is the opportunity also for using non-governmental organizations. In terms of planning, I've mentioned our Water Services Planning Unit, which works very closely with COCTA as well, and that's the unit which Stephen Murray is representing this morning. It's contracting a support team within the department. We have got a project management unit within the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Program, but with this grant, which is quite a substantial grant, we are needing to upgrade the number of teams there. Of course, there's the planning that has to take place at the Water Services Authority level and also with the water boards as well. In terms of program management, it's water affairs, it's that contract support, it's a steering committee which we will establish where all of the water service authorities form part or engage through that steering committee, and then the water boards as part of our project management committee at a departmental level. Implementation readiness, I'm going to cover in six areas in terms of consultation, the corporate governance, the governance arrangements, program management planning, financial allocations, and some of the delivery models we're looking at the moment. Just to take us back, in August last year, when we started putting this program together, Minister Molewa, in fact, had a meeting with the provincial MECs and the executive mayors of the 24 DMs that would essentially be affected or impacted by this program. And that's where we first communicated the IIWSP, and that was the reference we made at the time because the grant hadn't yet been formulated. The notion was certainly well received by the DMs, and there was a commitment made to prioritize the work very closely. Some comments that were raised by the DMs at the time, which are issues which we've got to deal with as we go through in implementing the projects, are the unauthorized or illegal connections that need to be addressed. In a number of communities, we have fall off of pressure in the systems due to some connections which are made which are not necessarily made by the local authority itself. Consequently, you get areas in the high-lying zones of some communities which run out of water because of that water being tapped off. Boil water was not seen in our engagement then as being a preferred solution because of the reliability. It is, however, Chair, an area that we will look at because boils do present us with an interim solution, but they've got to be managed correctly. So we've got to have the correct framework in to manage that. Problems in connection with water sources and infrastructure that doesn't serve poor communities at the moment, that's what we're wanting to address. The lack of funding to pay water tankers, and that was in relation to dealing with the immediate breakdowns in service delivery, where we might have to put tanks up as an interim measure and move water in by tanker. That's an extremely expensive solution, but sometimes we have to put that in place just to make sure that communities have access. Then it's the lack of funding for O&M. None of our current grants, neither the MIG nor our big grants makes provision for operations and maintenance. And we do find that some of the infrastructure is dysfunctional because of that lack of maintenance and the lack of adequate allocation of budgets by municipalities through their own funds to deal with O&M. Comments made with regard to MIG grants not being used properly by the local municipalities, which does hamper service delivery. Obviously, we will deal with that going forward with COCTA, and I'll come to one of the collaborative arrangements we have in place as well. The institutional arrangements and models to cross-subsidize to address O&M, we need to look at that as well. If you look at our water boards, for argument's sake, there aren't arrangements at the moment to cross-subsidize the cost of water from areas where you've got infrastructure that's been in there and operating for many years into those areas where you have new infrastructure. So those comments will be obviously taken forward in the way we formulate and implement the project. The other initiative that was taken by the respective ministers of COCTA and Water Affairs was to implement or set up a joint program, and this happened in May last year, to strengthen the work between Water Affairs and COCTA towards accelerating access to water services. And that team is co-chaired by myself from Water Affairs side and the Chief Operations Officer Kenewe Sebejo from COCTA, and we have four working groups established there, and one of those working groups is dealing with accelerating the access to water supply. In terms of reference and the work plan for those working that working group has been developed, and we have identified the high risk areas which we need to consider and be cognizant of that. We will be, we've extended by invitation the membership of that working group to also include the technical directors from the 23 district municipalities, and the first meeting of that group, that extended group, is, as I'm informed at the moment, scheduled for the 8th of March, which is this Friday. Intensive planning activities led by Water Affairs over the last 6 months in direct and constant consultation has taken place with the relevant WSAs, and I will share with you, Chair, as I've indicated, some of the documents we have brought. In terms of governance tools and guidelines, the MWIC framework has been finalised. Well, I say finalised, it's included in the revision of the Division of Revenue Bill. And that framework covers the processes for approval, the purpose, the outcome, the outputs of some of the conditions. So we are, around that, developing a comprehensive strategy or implementation plan to implement around that framework. And we have developed a number of guidelines, or guidelines will be developed, sorry. We will also look at the opportunity of using term contracts for the procurement of equipment for boreholes and some fairly standardized units that we might have to use, and also with regard to some of the planning where we could use PSPs which are already in place by the department. We've developed business plan templates which will be used with each of the municipalities, and the terms of reference for provincial coordinating and planning committees has also been developed. The conditions specific in terms of the framework, Chair, I'm just listing them from 1 through to 10. And the item in red is just to indicate the work that the department has already done in terms of achieving those conditions which are specified in the framework. The first one being that all receiving municipalities will be required to conclude formal agreements with the department prior to implementation of the projects. In that regard, we have standard contracts or agreements in place already for our BIC and our ASIP program, and those will be adapted for the MWIC, and that will be concluded and presented to those receiving municipalities by April of this year. Secondly, projects to be identified by municipalities must form part of the integrated, the IDPs and the WSDPs. That's where our planning processes or progress is directly linked to the WSDP process of the WSA. Identification of projects to be completed by March. That can't be 2104. There's something wrong there. That must be March 2013. My apologies for that finger slip there. I'm worried about that 2104, Chair. I don't think I'll be around in 2104. and the inclusion of those projects in the municipal business plans and WSDPs by September of this year. Thirdly, a technical team comprising Water Affairs, COCTA, Water Boards, WSA, and MISA, that's the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, must approve all designs and interventions for projects above 20 million rand. In this regard, Water Affairs has also pulled in some additional support from one of our stronger water boards to help provide some capacity within our infrastructure unit. Four, projects must have suitably approved technical reports before funds can be transferred. Assessment guidelines have been developed in that regard. Fifthly, Water Affairs must be part of the adjudication panel for the appointment of contractors. A workshop on the guidelines will be held within Water Affairs in April 2013 to train officials on key issues in terms of assessing of tenders. And that will also be assisted internally by our own supply chain managers and that expertise that exists in the department. Six, if a WSA is deemed not to have adequate capacity, projects must be implemented and managed by water boards. That's a provision that's made within the Division of Revenue Bill and the framework, or through alternative source providers appointed after agreement with National Treasury. We've already had sessions where we briefed all of our water boards, and the shareholder compacts are in the process of being amended to make provision for them to work within that space, and those shareholder compacts will be presented for sign-off by Minister during July of this year. The item seven is where necessary, Water Affairs in consultation with the WSA must facilitate service level agreements for appointment of water boards as service providers to operate and manage the service once completed. And there we're working on preparing standard service level agreements. Well, we've got some standard service level agreements available which will be negotiated and we'll engage with each of the WSAs. There's a double seven there, so that should be eight. Ensure adequate consumer and community participation. There, the existing communication stroke awareness material by Water Affairs will be revised and made available to the WSAs by April 2013. The eight will now become nine. If a project is to provide water service to rural communities, considerations be given to establishing community-based organizations. There we would also involve our Water Research Commission, who did develop some water supply strategies and guidelines in the past, and we will reassess those in terms of engaging with the municipalities to set up those CBOs. Nine there becomes 10. The WSA must ensure that the project is sustainable and remains functional after the project is completed. There are feasibility and business plans will assess. Assessment guidelines will include O&M plan, and those are available from RBIG and will be utilized in terms of this grant as well. And item 11 then, all projects having an impact on water resources must be aligned with all relevant water resources planning and the strategy developed and adopted by the department. There our water resources planning will have a role to play in the sign-off in terms of any related feasibility studies that might have to be undertaken. Chair, then some additional conditions in terms of transfer of funds. The budget for this program sits on the budget of the Department of Water Affairs, and the accounting officer, in terms of the terminology used in the Division of Revenue Bill or the Act to Come, is that the DG of the department becomes a national transferring officer, and any transfers or payments made to the municipalities will be made as part of an agreement with specific conditions which will vary from project to project. So, Chair, we won't be doing transfers on a payment schedule to municipalities, but will be on a pay-as-you-go or pay-as-you-progress basis in terms of the projects. The projects must be part of an overall commitment by the WSA on how to eradicate all water services backlogs And there we would require holistic business plans for each WSA, and that's the work which our planning chief directorates, our chief directorate water services are doing in conjunction with the water service authorities and with MISA. Three, when the implementing agent is a water board or any other service provider, the IA must maintain and operate a completed infrastructure on behalf of the WSA for a minimum period of 2 years, or until the municipality has capacity and resources to manage and operate effectively. That condition will be included in the standard agreements to be reviewed and considered on a project-by-project basis. In terms of our program management capacity, Chair, we have a national task team that has been established, and I did indicate up front that Nhlanhla Nkosi, sitting diagonally across me there, is the chair of that task team. We've established a steering committee, and that steering committee will also bring on board the all of the water service authorities, the 23 DM reps, onto that steering committee. Provincial planning committees are merging the RBIC and ASIP work that's already underway, and we have some revised terms of reference in that regard. Water Affairs national and provincial program managers have been appointed. We've appointed additional staff on the RBIC, and we might, in fact, as we go forward and we implement the program, have to supplement on those program managers within the our provincial offices. Planning support contract has been appointed. An additional support contract has been approved, where we're putting in some capacity from Ngaini Water, which I've already mentioned. And then there's commitment to support from the water boards has been secured in principle, but we, apart from Ngaini, we need to engage and finalize those commitments with the other 11 water boards. Chair, I've got just an indication there of the program management unit or the arrangements within the department. We do have, as part of our governance arrangements in the department, a CAPEX committee, which I have the pleasure of chairing as well, where all projects of a capital nature are considered, just to make sure that we've got all of the fundamentals in place to make sure that we have a good project that can be implemented, and also to make sure that the budget is set aside for those projects. We show the role of the DDG regions in terms of the program management responsibility, the support by Ngaini Water, and then the water affairs, and initially, or as a stopgap, some contract workers that we will bring in, and then by 2015-16, where we will have expanded offices of the department with more full-time staff rather than and a diminishing number of contract staff, and also those support teams in place. Chair, in terms of the involvement of the water boards, we've got that commitment on the water boards to assist with the rollout, and the proposed roles, as we've discussed, is to assist in the development and the consolidation of the BPs for the 24 district municipalities, to also consider contributing towards funding, and there's some legal issues which we are dealing with in terms of using some of their reserves on what might be seen as non-core activities, but that's an issue, Chair, which we will deal with internally. C is assisting the department in the overall management of the program, really utilizing those water boards who've got strong project management capacity to also supplement. In some areas, becoming the implementation agents where there's gaps at the WSA level, and to strive to become the water service provider for the operation and maintenance of schemes, particularly in the rural and weak municipalities. Furthermore, for them to develop some additional in-house capacity and expertise with regard to rural water supply, and there I've already, and I'll touch on it again, just to mention that the shareholder agreements or the shareholder compacts are being modified to include this program as a key performance indicator. So our next step there is to define finalize the direct involvement of each of the water boards in the program. So in terms of the involvement of the water boards, our aim there is to change the existing paradigm and the role of water boards to make them more directly involved in assisting WSAs and municipalities in the service delivery objectives and moving away from just doing bulk water supply, but where possible and where feasible and where accepted by the WSAs to also do some of the retail water responsibilities as well. Water boards are effectively an extension of government, and they need to play a more effective, proactive role. Those water boards, they report to the Minister of Water Boards, Minister of Water Affairs, and they are wholly owned by the state. The water boards have some senior expertise, which we would try and maximize the use of that expertise within the program, and also to be able to give advice and support to the municipalities, and indeed to ensure that water boards rise to the challenge. We need to give them adequate mandates, and they need to do things differently to what they have done in the past. And that's part of rejigging the stakeholder shareholder compact, sorry. Sorry, Chair. Throat is getting a bit dry. The ginger beer does have some water in it. Chair, thanks. We've got four steps which we indicate there, going from the top of that slide, doing the needs and the initial planning through to project identification and classification, technical feasibility, and then the funding processes. And step one has been completed, and that's the identification and the verification of the needs. And I can leave you with a set of our documents there, where we've got a document which identifies the needs per district municipality, and we'll arrange, Chair, to also give you that in an electronic format, apart from just the hard copies that I will leave with you. Step two is the project identification and classification. And that's the verification of projects and the prioritization of projects. That step will be completed by March of this year, end of March of this year. And then we move into the technical feasibility and assessment of those feasibilities. And step three will be the implementation plans, the business plans, the funding allocations, and the development of the overall WSA business plan. And we're certainly targeting that step four. We are ready to be able to hit the ground running in a number of district municipalities from the 1st of July onwards, the start of the municipal financial year. I just, Chair, and that is a difficult slide to see on the small slide and also up there, but it just identifies some of the needs in the Isanzini district municipality, just by way of example, and I've got the document that supports that the planning that has taken place there in Isanzini. I've got that document which I will leave you as well, but Stephen will be able to assist me to address any particular questions around any of the communities there within the Isanzini. So step one, each settlement has been categorized according to a specific needs requirement in those 24 DMs in terms of those four categories which I mentioned before, and I'm not going to read them out again. Step two, the proposed projects and actions for short, medium, and long term to address the specific interventions will be finalized by the end of March, and then our implementation plan, As we have it there, Chair, we give it in terms of the quarters as we have them, 2013 through to through to 2014, step two being the project implementation plans, and step three the feasibility studies, and also identifying some quick wins where projects are ready to start rolling from the 1st of July. Given that this the budget for this program runs over the MTF period with a 600 million rand allocation during the current year. So some of the design and planning and implementation will take place over the three financial years that the allocation has been made. The just touching on the financial allocations, which will also are covered in the E&E document which Minister of Finance tabled in Parliament last year, and the chapter for the department indicating an allocation of 602 million during the 13-14 financial year, increasing to 1,059 million in 2014-15, and in 15-16 rising to 2.671 billion. So a total of 4.333 billion as the initial budget done according to the needs. And you'll recall that earlier on in the presentation I indicated that the needs are much greater than the 4.3 that we've assessed. But this is a great start to a new program to get it running, and I think the proof of the pudding will be in the way we implement the project. The budget allocations are indicated and published in the draft, the Division of Revenue Bill. My apologies there for making reference to DORA. It's still a bill at the moment, and that's been done according to WSA and according to the local municipalities within those WSAs. And it's envisaged that once the planning has been finalized within the next month or two, that those budgets might have to be adjusted accordingly. So that's based, that the budget allocations are based on our initial needs assessments, Chair. On that slide, and I'm not going to go through every number in detail, but we do show the provisional allocations by province, and then that is broken down by to a water service authority level or district municipality and WSA level on the next slide. No, I don't have it in here, but it's in the Division of Revenue bill. The allocations per WSA are reflected. Chair, what I have got, I've got a slide which I will also just leave with you, which just adds two columns on there, which just indicates the number of, by percentage, the number of households where there's no services infrastructure, and the number of households where O&M issues are a problem within those various provinces. And that's rolled up from the at a district municipal level. And I just add that as additional information, if I could just leave that with you. We've done a provisional cash flow over the next 24 months, and with a slow start-up in month one, which would be from the 1st of July through to month 24, which will run through to 2015. The implementation models and partners that we've looked at, Chair, is first of all the Water Service Authority by default has been the implementing agent where that Water Service Authority has sufficient capacity. If there are capacity deficiencies, the second option would be assistance by key stakeholders, that be Water Affairs Construction, the Water Board or the District Municipality. The next default position will be Water Boards to service level agreements in the longer term, then Water Boards as implementing agents, and the Division of Revenue Bill does make provision for us to use the Water Boards. Water user associations could be considered, particularly in farming communities. The use of NGOs, I've touched on in B, the use of our own infrastructure units for construction, and then our water affairs regional or provincial offices through project management support and support through the RRU. Obviously, noting that the WSA must always play a key role, irrespective of which model would be used there. And then overlying that would be the role that MISA would play in terms of the mandate that they are given by the Department of Cooperative Governance. We've listed some challenges and risks, Chair. Those challenges and risks might not be exhaustive at this stage, and as we move into identification of the more detailed project and the implementation of those projects, we might indeed identify additional risks which we will include in our risk management plan and identify mitigation measures around those risks. The first risk that we identify is that the WSA will not be able to conform to the strict conditions set out in the framework, and our mitigation measure there is to support and make available that support to enable all the requirements to be met. Second risk we've identified is that the WSA with little capacity will not accept alternative implementing agent arrangements. That's where a WSA might not want us to utilize a water board for argument's sake as to implement, and there we our mitigation is to develop a protocol to escalate issues to a political level if necessary. Three is inadequate funding to provide additional project management support to municipalities, and there we would facilitate the availability of resources from water boards, MISA, and the district municipalities. Fourth risk that we've identified is the risk of MWIG not meeting the core objectives of the IIWSP of providing some water for all. There our mitigation is continuous monitoring and strict adherence to project implementation criteria with an emphasis to complete the overall WSA business plans for service delivery. Fifth risk is one with regard to interventions will not be maintained by the WSA after project completion. There are mitigations to ensure that O&M contracts for a minimum of two years are in place for larger projects, and the WSA will be held liable in accordance to those agreements. MISA also to provide institutional support to sensitive projects or key projects. And the sixth risk area we've identified is the risk of under expenditure by program and the WSAs, and there are mitigation measures there to introduce project-ready projects in the beginning and to motivate and, if necessary, look at a change in the schedule to a Schedule 6 if that is indeed one of the ways to move forward. Chair, the other mitigation which has been put into place which overlies all of this is that Minister has instructed that we establish a project management unit within the department. We're engaging at the moment with DPSA in terms of the establishment of that unit, and we're hoping to have that project management unit up and running from the 1st of April, and some staff will be deployed into that unit, some on a permanent basis, others are there on an interim basis until we can fill the post through normal advertising. But that's an intervention which we're putting in place by directive of Minister as well. Just in conclusion, Chair, Water Affairs have already carried out a lot of work in preparation for the MWIC. Considerable more work needs to be done before actual construction can take place, and we want to use the next 3.5 months to make sure that we are actually implementation ready from the 1st of July on those projects which are implementation ready. greatest risk is related to the fact that IMWIG is now, we still see it as a Schedule 5, as although we initially conceptualized it as a 6, but we're managing that chair with National Treasury. It's anticipated that some projects can start implementation within the next 3 months, and Water Affairs, together with the key stakeholders, are ready to implement the program with the work that we've done. Chair, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the short presentation. 1 hour, 15 minutes. I hope that other people are going to present. Yeah, well, we thank you very much. We have had the outline. All members, I wanted to suggest that just to hear from departments, if including SALGA, if there's anything they would like to add on this, Ms. Mbasa, are you fine? Okay. Mr. Kenyon, you want to add something?
Schedule 4B of the Constitution stipulates that water
and provinces have a role and have a responsibility to build capacity in municipalities to be able to deliver those functions, and conditional grants are a key part of our efforts to provide municipalities with that capacity. Just looking briefly at the census results and what they tell us about water and access to water and the change between 2001 and 2011. And you can see here that there has been progress in reducing the backlog, so from a backlog of 28% of households nationally without access to RDP levels of water, that's been reduced to 15%. But you can see there in the metros, the backlog is now only 5%, whereas in your 70 most rural local municipalities, it is still at 41%. So we have a very different picture in very different parts of the country. Progress has also been fastest in those rural municipalities, it's worth noting. But the sheer size of the backlog is massive there still, and that's a large part of the motivation for having a conditional grant and an immediate intervention that targets those 23 rural municipality districts in which most of these rural municipalities and most of the backlogs are located. This slide just shows briefly the comparison with the outcome 9 targets. Government had an estimate of access to water of 92% in 2010. The census revealed that at RDP standards, that was actually only 85%. If we just take the progress we've made over the last decade and we extend it to 2014, we think that it would be about 89% of households that would have access within those RDP standards. That's clearly not acceptable. That's the situation, though, if we make no change to what we're doing, if we do things the way we have been over the last decade. The introduction of this municipal water infrastructure grant is a significant intervention designed to accelerate that implementation, to accelerate the eradication of backlog. And this is a key motivating factor that was considered in the grant. I think we also have to acknowledge that there has been a lot of money put into municipal infrastructure over the last decade. This graph shows the allocations in each year between 2001, well, a little bit beyond the 10 years between the two censuses, but you can see there very clearly that's just infrastructure transfers each year. That over that 10-year period, in nominal terms, we have invested just over 100 billion through the division of revenue in direct and indirect infrastructure grants for municipalities. So that's the envelope of funding that has been available, and yet we remain with backlogs, which indicates to us clearly that there are some challenges, not just in the availability of funding, but in the way that funding is used. This slide just gives you a brief overview of the funding that's available for water and sanitation generally. Not all of the amounts there are for water and sanitation. So the Urban Settlements Development Grant and the MIG, both of them include money for water and sanitation, but they're not exclusively for water and sanitation. The Regional Bulk Infrastructure Grant there is an indirect grant. The Water Services Operating Subsidy has both direct and indirect components. Just in the 1 year, in 2013-14, if you take all that money together, it's 27 billion rand in infrastructure transfers. If you sort of make some assumptions and exclude some of the USDG and MIG money, it's at least 16 billion rand for water and sanitation infrastructure available in just 1 year. In addition to that, the new local government equitable share formula provides 16.1 billion rand in operations and maintenance funding for the delivery of water and sanitation services to poor households. And I know that the committee is fully briefed on the new equitable share formula. So in total here, we have at least 30 billion rand in support for the water and sanitation sector in 2013-14. Within that context, the Department of Water Affairs approached the 2013 budget process with a request for 2 billion rand for the intermediate water program that the acting DG has outlined. Taking a 2 billion rand request, given the larger scale of backlogs revealed in the census, and perhaps a more generous assessment of the needs out there, the 4.3 billion rand was allocated through the budget process. Part of that was funded through the reprioritization of funds from the municipal infrastructure grant. That is one of the, it is the largest infrastructure grant, and it is a grant that, if you consider the amount, particularly because it's allocated based on backlog, those amounts, that 14 billion that's in the mix, is really targeting the same areas and the same service. So it made some sense to find some of this money within the constrained fiscal environment that we're in. It made sense that we reprioritize some of the funds from the MIG to help create this baseline. So in the first year, just less than half the money comes from the MIG. So about 290 million was reprioritized out of the MIG for this in 13-14. And then the rest of the money came from additional funds, which again were generated through savings elsewhere in the budget. As the members will be well aware, we're in a situation, in a very constrained fiscal environment, in which all new projects have to be funded by finding funds elsewhere. It's a reflection of the priority that the Ministers Committee on the Budget placed on making an impact on water, that such a large amount was reprioritized into this grant. And as the Acting Director General from the Department has outlined, it is a grant structure that we believe will work differently to the system that perhaps has been underperforming to date, and we think that it's a worthwhile investment to accelerate the delivery of this vital infrastructure. These next few slides come from the conditions of the framework, which has been amply covered in the previous presentation, and you could see there how much work the department has done on the implementation already. Similarly, we're also, the National Treasury has been working closely with the Department of Water Affairs, and we also believe that through various interventions, and particularly through the participation of the Water Board in this grant, that it'll ensure that there is the capacity and the capacity support to ensure the successful implementation. Water Affairs presentation also highlighted the question of sustainability. This is one of the key reasons that we believe from the Treasury side that it's important that municipalities receive these funds as a direct transfer in the same way that the MIG was a direct transfer, although with the additional capacity of the Water Board, BISA, and the department being involved. Sustainability, we've seen that where projects are implemented by another entity, but the asset ends up in the control of a municipality, where they haven't had a hand in building and planning for and building that asset, that the operations and maintenance isn't taken up. The municipality, in essence, doesn't take on full ownership. And that's essentially why Treasury, and we're still engaging with the Department of Water Affairs about cases where there is really limited capacity, et cetera, as the Acting DG has highlighted. But it's why we feel that it's very important that municipalities have this direct control over the building of these assets, because ultimately, in terms of the Constitution, the delivery of water services is a municipal function. And so this is municipal infrastructure. Municipalities are responsible for operating and maintaining it. They should be operating responsible for building it. The slide also highlights there some of the funding streams that are available for it, including through the local government equitable share. Then finally, as I said at the beginning, the Minister of Finance announced in his speech that municipal infrastructure grants will be reviewed and realigned. The census results, I think, reveal in some areas a disappointing performance. In some areas they reveal a very good performance. So the census data will be used as the basis for a review of the system as a whole, and that review will be conducted in a collaborative style, very much modeled on the local government equitable share review, in which different national departments as well SALGA and the FFC were involved in the steering committee and with maximum consultation with municipalities. I think one of the obvious questions would be why not wait for this review to be concluded before introducing a new municipal water grant as an instrument. And I think there the answer is that the urgent need for these water services and the urgent priority that government places on the delivery of water to households meant that we couldn't wait for a review process that will take at least another 12 months to complete. And so we've prioritized this grant and its rollout from this budget. Thank you.
We do not have a presentation. Communities will be saying that we need
this particular service. And because the available funding is conditional, the municipality will be saying, actually, you will have this service because we don't have money for the service that you're looking for. That's with sports where you'll be saying, a community will be saying, we want water, and it will be said, no, actually, there's a grant for a sports facility. Or a community will be saying that we want a road, and it will be said there's a grant for electricity. So it takes away from the local prioritization when we start from a national level to prioritize how to invest in local communities and respond to the needs of communities. Within that part of that discussion, then about grants, should take into account that the idea of South Africa and its democracy was that communities should have a voice in terms of what becomes of their development. For this reason, then, SALGA did not support the creation of this grant. Further, Chair, we, in this slide, we are just looking at the comparison between MEET and this particular grant in terms of this strategic goal, in terms of the grant purpose, in terms of the output, without going into the detail of it. But what we then conclude is that due to the similarities of the two, of these two grants, we think that it might be difficult to measure the policy outcomes as a result of the introduction of this grant. That is cleanly, when you look at it in relation to what could be the policy outcomes as a result of the contribution of MEET. Again, say what then becomes a motivation? Shouldn't we try and make sure that MEET works better if we think that it doesn't work better? I mean, the Treasury has actually made a point here that even in the municipalities that we're targeting, these were the fastest growing municipalities in terms of delivery of infrastructure services, in particular water. Now we want to introduce a new way of this particular system. The other point that we thought we need to just draw out, we're looking at the document, is that most of this grant comes from me, so it's not new money really. Except that 1.8 billion of it is new money. The other 2.5 billion comes from me. So we are basically reallocating money that is already in the local government sphere in terms of this grant.
Can you just expand on this one? Otherwise, the same.
We're saying, Chair, in terms of the division of revenue bill, when we look at it in page 90, we realize that basically this grant is made up of 2.5 billion of it comes from, is money taken from me, and then 1.5 billion of it over 3 years. Page 90. Yeah. If you look at table W1, 24. That's where we draw this information. I think Treasury, though they didn't state the same numbers, they are making the same point that part of this grant comes from me, and then an additional amount. So that from our point of view, we saw that a bigger amount comes from me rather than the additional amount. I think Treasury was saying it's the other way around. But from our reference, unless we're referencing it wrongly, on page 90, it does appear there that this money comes from me. We also were noting the following quickly, Chair, that there is no clear coherent policy imperative that underpins the creation of this. It's similar to what we have seen in the Department of Human Settlements of a new grant that was called, or the grant that is not performing now, that was called Rural Infrastructure, that was looking at sanitation, household infrastructure program. Again, the grant is not underpinned by spare capacity in the water sector to accelerate delivery. Service providers will be used, and not necessarily government skills in the way we understood it. It was proposed by the department then. Maybe with the change that is introduced by Treasury, we might see a different outcome. Then the administrative burden of complying with this new grant might mean that there is a slower process. I think that's the question that the Chair was asking. Are we ready to roll with this? I see the comments made by the department in terms of the conditions and how they will be met, but if one starts to scrutinize them, them very closely. We are afraid that the actual implementation where the shovel hits the ground and project is implemented may be delayed a lot than it is estimated by the department with the creation of the new compliance processes that have got to take place before this is implemented. I think the point has been made also in the presentation of the department that it is looking only at the DMs that our water service authorities. We have a number of municipalities that have got rural areas that are local municipalities that are not that are water service authorities. Those municipalities are excluded in terms of this particular intervention. Just because it is created in this particular way, we think that there might be limited alignment with sanitation services and coordination. We made the point about the limited new funds that are coming into this. One of the things from our point of view as South African local government that we're beginning to see as an urgent issue is the issue of refurbishment and replacement of aging infrastructure as opposed to focusing on investment in new infrastructure. It's becoming more and more of an issue. It is happening in terms of infrastructure that was created to serve the poor using national transfers, but it is also happening in terms of the infrastructure that was inherited by municipalities in the CBDs and suburbia of municipalities where that infrastructure is now collapsing. We think that if there was any policy intervention that was needed, it's more in that area than tweaking with what is currently happening. Be that as it may, Chair, SALGA thinks that given that national government has decided that we need to introduce this grant, that we need to work together with the department, particularly Department of Water Affairs, to define a common goal in the implementation of this grant, try and address some of the concerns that we have that we think that might lead to a difficulty in rolling out this grant as speedily as it is wanted for it to be speedily rolled, Chair. We also do think that if going forward, one on one hand is dealing with the policy that reviewing the policy that informs grants, but on the other hand, we think that there is a need to look at a coherent policy to infrastructure challenges faced by municipalities as opposed to on an ad hoc basis introducing new grants. Thank you very much.
Honorable Singh, Honorable Harad Bloss, Honorable Mashiko, Honorable Mokulo.
Is it me, Chair? Thank you. Chair, I just want to understand to say in terms of Department of Water Affairs, they only bring this documentation of theirs that is so long today. Why was it not in time so that we can go through it?
You just pull the mic towards you, please?
Okay, sure.
Sure.
So it's you know, we are going through it, but now we have to be on our toes. So we see some of the issues. But my question is around, I just want to understand that they've got a budget being approved, but they don't have a plan. Because when I look at it, they say, we are still going to go on to the planning stage. After that, the money will be released. And then the second issue that I also want to understand is to say, this schedule 5 or 6 of theirs, what was the reason for Treasury to say they're not going to make it Schedule 6, it's going to be Schedule 5, you know? And at this moment, I also heard that he said they're still going to reach a consensus, they're still going to discuss that it should become Schedule 6. How far are you in terms of reaching the consensus, you know? And the way you're talking about retail activities, that you'll also be involved in retail activities. Can I get clarity on that? Because I'm not so sure what does it mean. Does it mean now you're going to act like the boss? Is that what you're saying to us? And then, when I look at your estimates, you were talking about all provinces, presentation about provinces. Northern Cape and Eastern Cape were not involved. Now, my question is to say, when we allocate funds, we do it based on population. And my challenge is to say, in Northern Cape, not a lot of population, but it's a big distance, but of fact, it's a very big area. And most of the time it becomes a challenge there, because whoever is sitting somewhere says, no, it's only 2% of the country's population, so they must get less budget. Whereas it's a vice versa, because the area that you're servicing is very big. So what is happening there? How did you reach the amount that you're saying? And then I'm just wondering about this. Already Salga has come, because I was asking myself that these grants that are coming in and there are other grants that are there. For an example, the MIG, Municipal Infrastructure Grant, it's there. Now you're also coming with another grant to the municipality. If the MIG was not functioning, was it not better to say, how can we make sure that it functions better? Instead of now creating another grant, that I'm not so sure how is it going to work, because some of these grants of yours are not working. And the other issue is to say, Saga is complaining about that it's a duplication. But inside the house, when you look at it in the MIG, they are also not. So I'm asking one question in different ways to two people. Because the other one, they were not performing correctly. The other one said, instead of assisting, we will create our own. Is it the battle of the fittest here? Because a real issue here is to make sure that the services do reach the people. So for me, it's like, who's got the best, who's got the strong muscles? We are not really there for the people. And I'm looking at about this issue to say, are we going to use, for this new grant, to use consultants? And we are talking about the government doesn't want consultants anymore. So where is the committee going to be part of ownership? And after this grant, when you come at national, because one thing that I know about national department, they like to come into communities, put something there, and they disappear. Have you looked after care? Who's the ownership of that when you finish? As much as you involve a municipality, but actually who's owning that, national or municipality? If it's going to be municipality, why was it taken out of the MIG? So those are some of the things. And the relationship with, because I can see that you only talked to municipalities. Where was COCTA? Are they part of the committee or whatever? I'm not so sure what you call yourself. And then in terms of are you saying by the 1st of July, those grants will be transferred? Or you're still going to think around it? Does it mean 1st of July, municipality can start to use the grants and say, now we are working, the grants are here. The grants are here, instead of waiting for September for the grants to be released. So those are some of the things, and I still don't agree that you must have money without planning. So if Treasury and the department itself can tell them, how are they going to implement these grants? It must be a clear plan to say by January to February, this is what we're doing. April, May, this is what we're doing. But at this moment, it's just a grant from somewhere. Let me leave it for there, Chair. I'll continue with other questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mfula. It looks like you have covered Honorable Swart.
No, Chair. On the contrary, Chair, not at all. Chair,
the fact of the matter is that, I feel that this presentation is a bit premature, because the Department of Water Affairs only heard that they got the money 2 months ago, and they've now got a plan, and they've got a, if you don't get money and spend it tomorrow, or you hear that you're getting money and you're spending it tomorrow, because they can only spend it from the 1st of July in any case. So they're going into the agreements, and they're telling us what the agreements they're making, and so they will only be able to start spending from the 1st of July when the municipalities and their budget period starts as from the 1st of July. Now, that's the one thing. The second thing is, Chair, I agree with Saga that maybe we could have left this, this water grant until everything has been, revamped, the grants and so on. But unfortunately, water is such a serious issue at the moment. It's a right that every citizen, has to have water available, except it looks like Gauteng and the Western Cape doesn't need it because they get nothing in terms of these cereals. But in any case, I take it they're on the ball. But the point that I want to make as far as the the water services grant is concerned, if we don't attend to two matters, and there I agree with Salva, one is sanitation. If we don't attend to that at the same time, we're going to have a huge problem. And the second one is, if we don't train people, and I would like to hear what has been allowed for training of people to actually run those infrastructure developments once they're up. Because if you don't do it, you can just foreclose them again. We have to have proper maintenance of those facilities once it's been instituted. I would like to hear what that is. Then Chair, Darren, hand it out to little Cheryl here, Chair. Darren handed out a Cheryl which says Municipal Water Infrastructure Grant. But this Cheryl, I don't know where it comes from, but it differs from the one that's been presented by National Treasury and Water Affairs. Not the same, they're different. And I just want to know where it comes from, which one is correct. If you just take 230-214 on this schedule, you'll see that the proposed expenditure or budget is 542 million, whereas Treasury and Water Affairs said that 603 million. So we're looking at a difference of about 62 million, somewhere around there. And I just want to know where this comes from, which one is correct. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe I can answer that question on behalf of the, because I whispered to the young lady behind me to say that this schedule here says 3.9 billion and then the actual amount allocated is 4.3 billion. And the answer I got was 10% project management is going to be added. So 400 million, I hope this is an official answer later, 400 million rand is project management. So here we go with consultants and everything else all over again, because the Department of Water Affairs is one of the departments that the Auditor General has reported on in terms of excessive use of consultants. But anyway, let's hear it. That's what she whispered, but these are corridor talk. Let's get an official answer to what... Honorable Sponsor asked. But, Chairperson, I agree fully with Salga and Salga's observations. It's very refreshing that in this committee, I've been serving for many years in many committees, that for the first time in history, that a department asks for 1 rand and they get 2 rand. You saw one slide there that the department draft asked for 2 billion rand to accelerate the rollout. But eventually they got 4.3 billion. So that's very interesting precedent that's been set, that a department gets double what they ask for. But it's for a good cause, because water is a good cause. But let me say to Salga, once I hear all your reasons, but sometimes you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Here's something that's coming, let's use it, but you have legitimate concerns. Chairperson, for example, the whole question of looking at water supply holistically, and I'd like to hear how you brought together the regional bulk infrastructure grant, the municipal water infrastructure grant, and water services operating subsidy as a total package. Because at the end of the day, our people on the ground want water. Right? They're not interested what grant, where it comes, how it comes. They're interested in implementation and delivery. And from what I see, unless I'm wrong, this municipal water infrastructure grant is a short to medium-term solution to deal with very urgent needs. What is the medium to long-term plan? Because you can't just say, okay, we're going to use a community's way of getting water from the ground or getting water from the river, purifying the water, etc. Eventually, we should be looking at reticulated water and sanitation to all the people in this country. So I want to know how this now ties in with that. For example, Chairperson, I think you are well aware, when it comes to provision of housing, you get areas where there are informal settlers staying in squalid conditions. You get the Department of Housing coming along, spending 30, 40, 50,000 rand per unit and putting corrugated iron structures. And they say these are temporary. Eventually we're going to build you the proper houses. Those temporary remain there until we will be dead. I know in my area it's there. Right? They built those temporary and it's still temporary. And even if they build new houses, somebody moves into the temporary. So it carries on. It's a vicious cycle. So eventually we need a plan where we forward thinking and saying how are we going to provide water to all the people in a more sustainable manner. Chairperson, also the capacity, I think Honorable Swartz asked about capacity. I mean, how many consultants are we going to be using here again? And what is the capacity at the municipal level? Do they have capacity? Do they have technical people? Or is it somebody else that's going to be imposed on them to come and say, do 1, 2, 3, like colleague Mfulo has said over there? So I'd like to hear about capacity. And then in terms of this grant here, we say it's needs-driven. What priority is going to be given to providing water at schools, clinics, public facilities in these particular areas? Is there a different program or is it the same program? And I don't have a list of the 23 district municipalities available. Maybe we can just be told which they are. But I'm glad to see that most of the problems reside in KwaZulu because they're going to be getting 36% of the total budget. And when we from KwaZulu have been saying the biggest problems are there, nobody agreed with us. But if you look at the distribution here, you can see 36% of the funding, 1.5 billion, is going to be allocated to KwaZulu. I'd just like to know which are the district municipalities in KwaZulu. Thank you, Chair, for now. No. For now, Chair, thank you. And these hot spots, Chair. Let's talk about the hot spots. Now, why should we be driven by service delivery protests? Shouldn't we be driven rather by needs rather than protests? So tomorrow you'll get another community protesting and will say, hey, hot spot, let's go there and do something. And then another one somewhere else, hotspot, let's do something. We should be looking at the needs of communities. And I think with the census and everything else, government has an idea where the problems reside. Thanks, sir.
Can I allow Dr. Fande?
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Honorable Kelderblom. Chairperson, maybe, you know, the Western Cape must become a hotspot as well, and then, you know, money will come to the Western Cape and to our things. Because I'm aware of hotspots there, not just public. Chairperson, my question concentrates, you know, on the whole question of planning and control for the effective and the efficient spending of money. You know, the concerns about capacity and planning. What I would like to know, Chair, you know, if you look at the presentation and what is not in the presentation are the many and many institutions, role players that are involved in the final rollout of this infrastructure grant, right from the beginning up to the end where the consumer have access to the water finally. You know, it's not only Treasury and the water boards and the national departments, provincial departments, water service authorities, municipalities. There are contractors, subcontractors, and many, many officials that are involved in this whole process. And we don't talk about change. You know, the NTF allocation showed 600 million, then we moved to 1 billion, and in the third year to 2.6 billion. It's a lot of money. Chair, my concern, or the question that come to my mind is, are all these role players, are they all familiar with the concept and the purpose of this grant? And specifically, if we look into the 41% backlog in the rural areas, you know, are the planning in place? According to the MFMA, the risk control, the asset control, are all these things in place? Can the department assure us that they've got a firm hand? Because at the end of the day, the buck stops with the department. And they must be responsible to National Treasury. Can they give us the assurance that the control and the planning are of such a nature that at the end of the day, we can be assured that the money will be spent effectively, efficiently, and for the purpose that it was allocated to. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think most of the issues are addressed by some of my colleagues here. First of all, I think it's already said here that every household has the right to water, so I think that's important. And I think the plan is, it's a massive plan, but big problem lies in implementation of this. My question is that I think the public participation process that may create some tensions, and I think we must be careful on that. But in that plan, I don't see or waste the activity of the youth in this plan. What is the involvement of the youth in this plan? And then the other problem is 62% of the problems are in the rural area, so I think that's where the problems are with technical staff. I think Honorable Singh mentioned it. That's a big problem there. If you look at the Karoo, not the Karoo, but Asia, in the Northern Cape and in the Eastern Cape, there's problems there with the use of this thing. That technical staff is tremendously important. And it comes back to the question of the consultants. We haven't got enough engineers in this country. And the other thing is, has the grant been aligned to the integrated development plans of municipalities? That's a question I want to ask. If not, when will this happen? So that is a concern for me also. Thank you, Chair. And the other thing, that is the big thing. We experience when on our oversight trips. You know, we have contractors for that solar processes and that. The big problem is the maintenance. I think some of us maintenance. Now with this water pumps, and you can go back, water boards experience at this time, the big problem they experience is the question with maintenance. So I think that is a focus area which we have to give attention to. But in overall, I think a massive plan, I think it's a good thing. But I think better coordination and better planning, that's very important. And we have to get the buy-in from the local municipalities. But what concerns me is the last sentence on page 5 of their presentation. Conclusion was, SALGA did not support the creation of the grant. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mashiro.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm covered on most issues. We know what our concerns have been with both SALGA and water assets. We've been having problems with SALGA regarding they are from the communities, they know where the problems are within the municipalities. We've been seeking their assistance in how capacitated are the councillors to be able to oversee what is happening within the municipalities. We never got an answer from them. we tried to sort for a workshop with Salga so that we really be on the same power with them. Maybe if some work was done, we would say, you know, the capacity of the municipality is here. We as people from the different cultures, we know where the problems are. But when we come here and we see them fighting for the test, it doesn't impress us. We know the duty of Salga to make sure that there is service delivered. We want to have confidence when listening to their presentation, say, oh, by the way, they spoke to us, and we have confidence that they are going to do what they are doing. Let's look at what is happening. Let's ask ourselves if Nick is understand who oversees it at the local municipality level. So there are problems both sides. I personally know, and Salga knows my problem with them. How can they assist us in making sure that when we go to the community, we during our constituency work, we don't start by asking, being with councillors who don't even have a register for the indigenous. We must start from there so that when we know that there's no water, the register is in place, the councillor in charge of that portfolio committee can give you facts and not refer you to an official who will refer you back to the mayor, back to the councillor. Let's get our houses in order, both sides, so that when this grant, we know it comes from underspent money. I'm with you, let that money be spent so that you can come here and say that money is from under. It's not, it's underspent. Because our structures at the local government level, both politically and administratively, are not doing the work properly. But we know that we also have problems with all these water boards and regional bus services. We'll just see after a few months if this money is used properly, because the planning progress, according to me, is behind schedule. We'll see what's happening, but let's be all serious. And Salga, we beg you on several occasions, starting from that roadhouse, the roadhouse that we sit together and see where the problem lies. If it's in the oversight and the weaknesses in the councillors, let's work with them so that we are both able to look to understand where the problems are jointly, not try to hide behind facts here. We want to see people having water. We want to see district. We know this money, but we still won't have problem with water affairs because that money won't be there. We will not have done 100% of what they told us that is going to do. Let's hope that it will do the right thing. If it has to do maintenance, we'll accept that. But if it will just be where we can find it, you know we are still going to fight this. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now it's fine. Department, Water Affairs, Treasury, I think you got a team. I'm sure anyone would be free to respond with your team. And National Treasury. But I think that some of the main questions revolve around the process of involving the role players, such as members are saying there seems to be no role for COPTA. And Salga, the presentation seems to be saying the consultation has been with the National Treasury from what come in there. Now, Salga, our main colleagues, also they feel that the consultation was not sufficient. Enough, but everyone agrees with the need for this kind of service.
Okay. I think the other issue that has been raised sharply is the capacity, but maybe what has not been raised is, in fact, I think the last comment by Honorable Mashifo is the capacity of the department itself to administer this, and that's the reason why we asked for this meeting. Okay.
Okay.
Over to yourself.
Chair, I'm going to ask for my team just to assist with some of the responses as well. I just want to, and just to start with some of the planning issues, and if we could just address those in broad context. And one of the questions raised relates to where does this fit into the overall plan for delivery of water across the country. We have developed, Chair, or identified the investment needs in terms of dealing with water provision in the country over the next 10 years, which is included in our water investment framework. And if you look at the National Water Resources Strategy, there's Key Focus Area 10, I think it is. Yeah, Key Focus Area 10 covers the investment required into water in the country over the next 10 years. We've identified, in terms of the planning the department has done, and there's a lot of planning that the department has done, we've identified that we need some $668 billion to be invested in water over a 10-year period. If we look at current funding that is made available through various sources into the water sector, we have a gap of around about $34 billion per year. And that would be to cover all of our funding requirements in water. That does include new infrastructure. It includes refurbishment of infrastructure. It includes some operational and maintenance issues. It includes water conservation, demand management. So this particular grant is just a part, Chair, of that overall need. So while we need in the order of $34 billion, we've now got added to us over a three-year period $4.3 billion, which is not going to address all of the problems. Now, through the PICC, we have had now included a new strategic integrated project, which is called SIP18. And through SIP18, we've got to take that work that we've done in identifying the 10-year needs around that infrastructure investment framework and turn it into a plan to deliver water and sanitation in the country over the next 10 years. So we've got to step up from the framework which we developed during the course of last year and pull all that into a more integrated and comprehensive plan. And that's part of the work that we're doing within SIP 18. So this grant, while it focuses very much on the 24 district municipalities, there aren't any district municipalities within Gauteng and Western Cape that have been identified as those district municipalities requiring specific support. That doesn't mean that there aren't communities within those areas who don't have access, but that's the focus of this particular grant. And that's how it was, the interim and immediate water supply project was identified. And likewise, making reference to the hotspots, yes, the Western Cape do have hotspots, but the hotspots I'm referring to are within those 24 district municipal areas. It's difficult choices to make. We have a limited, it's not a budget that will deal with all of the needs. But it's a start where a start has to be made, Chair. And I think that's the important issue, is to try and close those gaps where there are some gaps, to make sure that communities who haven't had the benefit of access to clean water in the last 18 or since the advent of our democracy, that they indeed get access to water. Having said that very broadly, Chair, I would just ask Stephen to maybe come in and just reflect on some of the planning that has been done, because the documents, which while we were doing the changeover from my presentation, Chair, to the National Treasury presentation, I gave you a pile of documents which I indicated we'd also provide in electronic format. But we've gone through all 24 district municipalities, and the needs have been identified and assessed, and that has been the basis on which we are formulating the individual projects. We, I suppose, as a department, when we were instructed by a minister to develop a project around closing the gaps, we put together a team in the department to start working on this project, and it was as a result of that work done by the department that we were able to make a bid to National Treasury for an interim water supply. We were doing that preparatory work with no guarantee that any funding would come. So the fact that we're able today, and Honourable Swart indicated that he thought that the presentation might be somewhat premature, in that we were only indicated in December last year that we'd get the funding. Yes, indeed, it's been difficult to get to where we are right now, but we did do some preparatory work, hoping that somewhere someone would listen to us. And it was on that basis, on the back of that planning work, preparatory work, that we did through that technical task team in the department, that we were able to come here today and present to you the framework we put together and the work that has been done. There is still a lot of work that needs to be done between now and the 1st of July on individual projects to make sure that for the first 600 million that we have for this year, that we can kickstart. And just bear in mind that not every project will start in the current financial year. There will be a limited number of projects started in this year, which allows us to finish the planning for the projects which start in year two and year three. So we don't have all of the plans on the table now, but we have identified those areas where there are quick wins which we can get in place to make sure that the budget allocation is able to expend. I must apologize for the confusion around the document that has been circulated. The numbers there should have reflected the full budget, which I had shown up in the relevant slide in my presentation, and I'll go to, I can't recall the slide number. I think the slide number... Slide number 34. Which shows the full allocation. Single page just shows, has taken off the top slice, which is to create the capacity to be able to implement the project and supplement where there's no capacity. So it's a 10% that has been set aside for that in terms of planning, project management, the use of implementing agents, and where necessary, there might very well be cases where consultants are appointed where we don't have engineers at some of the municipalities, and that's why you see the difference in the numbers. But that's just we've taken a 10% across the board, but you'll find that once we get into the municipalities, that could move up or down a little bit. We hope downwards, that more of the money can go into real infrastructure and the operation of that infrastructure. So, Chair, I hope that I've addressed that confusion, that the table that I showed up on slide 34 and the table that I circulated. But the reason also for that table is just to show you the three columns which showed the households in terms of no infrastructure and the O&M requirements. That was that reason as well. But Chair, if I could just hand over to Stephen to deal with the planning issues, and then I'm going to ask Tandaka to talk around some of the capacity issues as well in terms of our engagement from our regional offices with local government. But before, Chair, if I could also just address, there was a question raised about where does COPTA fit in. If you recall, I did show you a slide and made reference to the collaborative arrangement which we have with COPTA in May last year, and that was prior to us actually initiating this project, where, Chair, the respective ministers of COPTA and Water Affairs gave instruction for us to put a team together from our departments to look at various issues which we saw as priority areas within the water sector, and one of those being dealing with accelerating service delivery. So through that committee, of which I indicated I co-chair with the COO of COPTA, Kenero Sebejo, we're looking at accelerating service delivery, but not only related to Water Affairs funded projects, but also projects which are managed through COPTA, such as the MIG monitoring implementation around that, the use of the of MISA, plus the agencies which report to the Department of Water Affairs. So that's where that COPTA collaboration and coordination takes place. And that coordinating committee or collaborative committee has been expanded or is being further expanded to include representation from all of the 24 district municipalities as well. Chair, if I could then, Stephen, and then Tandaka, if you could come in after that. Thanks.
Okay, and another thing I'd like to respond to, another thing, that maybe you could help other departments. You ask for 2 billion, you get 4.3 billion. Okay, if you can continue with the thing.
Maybe, Chair, it is because we are that good. Chair, thank you very much. I'm going to address two specific parts of the questions. The one is the planning process that we've gone through, and then the next one is the integration of planning with the Water Services Development Plans and the IDP program, which also came out in some of the questions. From a process perspective, the planning actually, as the acting DG stated, started about 9 months ago already. It's not something that we've generated now. And we came a long way. Our planning was focused at district municipality level, but we've worked with each and every local municipality. In the products that we deliver, we go down to an LM level with regards to the reporting structures. What happened, the phases that we went through is, firstly, we actually engaged with local government to identify the specific problem communities. There were thousands and thousands of them that has to be named to say that this is the community and this is the problem and this is the reason why there's a problem. So that when we define the project at the end of the cycle, that we can actually address the problem and not really only throwing money at some cases, but really addressing where the crisis lies. So we had sessions with district municipalities, we had sessions with local municipalities, we had a lot of sessions with actual operators in the field trying to determine the community. The reporting that we do on planning is community-based. So we know now for South Africa, for the 23 priority DMs, each and every single community by name, what is the problem and what the problem looks like, the process that we've gone through. The next phase that we went through then, Chair, was defining on how we should actually solve the problem, and with that focused on different issues and also addressing some of the concerns with regards to how the MWIC links with MIC as such. The process that we've gone through there is actually defining a project that addresses that specific problem per community, and then we've aligned that with the existing MIC process that runs in that same local municipality to see whether the MIC project actually addresses that critical problem. In some cases, if I can just quickly mention an example where you have a community where people on the fringes of that community do not have water because they've settled there over the last 2 years, you deal extension of existing infrastructure, and the MIG project actually addresses the upgrading of the water treatment work, which is not going to bring water to the people. You have to be very focused in the way that we're going to spend the MWIC funds to actually, as an interim service provision, give water to those people that don't have anything at the moment. What we've gone through is the stage where we are now is we've completed the action list part of all 23 priority DMs. We've gone through a process where new projects have been identified for every one of those single problematic areas, and we're also aligning that now with the MIG program. The product that we will deliver by the end of March will address exactly how we're going to deliver per community, how we're going to deliver per project, and how we link with MIG, and how we link with RBIC, all the other associated grants. You will see in the product that we've also, the acting DG sent with you, there's a big project list book that we actually work with at local municipality level to make sure that we don't slip in the approach that we've got with regards to solving the exact problem in that context. So the second part is the water services development and IDP linkages. The same process that we're dealing with is 100% linked with the Water Services Development Plan and the IDP process. We will ensure, as stipulated by the end of September, that all the associated identified projects will be included in the next year's IDP cycle for completion in that regard. I'm not sure. I think DG was that.
Chair, the program we're running at the moment does not address sanitation. It's purely on the water side, but the infrastructure investment program that I referred to in terms of the $668 billion will also address sanitation. And in fact, that SIP 18 is designed where we have to put together the infrastructure development plan is for water and sanitation. So that's where we will those gaps on the sanitation side.
But maybe we should allow them to finish the responses. Here I see in the consultation still Salga is forgotten. Okay, continue.
Everybody is running.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Even though it's not really my space to thank the committee, I would say in the preparation for this presentation as a team, we really ask ourselves very critical questions about the preparedness, what are the risks, and how we're going to mitigate them. So most of the questions that are coming here are questions that some of them we still are dealing with, and we are aware of the deadline which we should have. When come first July, we are on top of issues. Chair, both Salga and we say in Chair, no matter what happens, come first July, implementation starts. We don't have an option, Chair. We've been given funding. There are needs out there. We will have to work together to make it work. Chair, both Salga and National Treasury made reference right from the beginning on the constitutional responsibilities between national government, province, and municipalities. Be that as it may, the realities on the ground are such that the challenges that municipalities in this country, most of them are facing, are such that the national department's role cannot be about support only. We have to go an extra mile. All departments have to go an extra mile to support local government to deliver on its mandate. And I think this initiative should be seen in that context. The fact of the matter and the reality, Chairperson, is when communities are without water, Northwest, many towns in Northwest currently are without water. The university in that area had to close because there was no water. When these problems crop up, sewage is running in the streets, means communities don't go to Cocta, they don't go to Salga, they go straight to our minister, they come to us. As officials of the department, we don't rest. We have to be always on top of issues and come in and support and provide solutions. And we don't have funding for that function. So, Chair, having said that, we really, even if we're supposed to be supporting, when there is a gap, when there's a need out there, we can't afford to sit and hide behind the fact that the Constitution says we should be doing this, we should not be doing that. So I think what is key, Chair, is how we work together to make it work at local government level. This grant and the thinking behind comes in the context of, for instance, the performance of NIC over the years. National Treasury made a point that over the last 10 years, more than 100 billion has gone into water infrastructure. That's a lot of money, Chairperson. The question that should be asked is, why is it that we're not making the dent that we're supposed to be making when it comes to a service delivery? There are many factors. That is why we need a collaborative approach as government, holistically, to help local government deal with those problems. Many of them, our experiences in ASIC, where we had to take difficult decisions, taking money from provinces like Limpopo, they are very poor, and taking it to other provinces because municipalities just can't perform. And you know that these people are poor there, poorest in the country, but that has to be done. So we really, Chairperson, we have to work together and embrace the fact that government has allocated money for this function. With regards to a building capacity, we are aware, Chairperson, of the weaknesses, our weaknesses in the past, the over-reliance on consultants, and there are many interventions that we are looking at in terms of bringing in students, graduate trainees to work with the consult, many cases with the water board if need be, but the focus is really on trying to build capacity within the department itself, and that is why we favor the use of the water boards, because in that case we can actually influence how they source and bring in young graduates. We're also working very closely with NISA. NISA has they haven't rolled out their program, or rather it's not that effective in all the provinces, but in the three provinces where they have deployed engineers, it's working so well. So we have to build on that. A question was asked on job creation. I've talked to the possible use of graduate trainees, young students that want to register and improve their studies. Those are the kind of options that we'll be looking into. But these programs are meant to be labor intensive. It's just that we haven't gone into the details of the project. But you're looking here at rudimentary projects that can start maybe from protection of streams to infrastructure that is more sophisticated. So one has to look at different models, but there is potential. If we work well with the municipalities, there is potential to create jobs. So in conclusion, we have to admit there has been some weaknesses in our consultation process. Our relationship with SALGA is not as good as it used to be. We have to work very hard to strengthen that. They are our pillar when it comes to creating a conducive environment for all of us to work at municipality level. So we cannot afford to exclude them from such an important process. But the spirit, Chair, is within given allocation, communities need water out there, we must make it happen.
I think in a way we've covered many of the questions. While we strive for perfection as a department, we could never claim to be perfect. And in those areas where we've picked up deficiencies, as they've been raised here today as well, we will take those forward, including, as Mambasa has indicated, that if there are indeed gaps in terms of our engagement with SALGA, that we deal with that as well, Chairperson. The issue of the asking for one rand and getting two, I think maybe National Treasury would be better able to respond to that. We're the happy recipients of that, but maybe National Treasury, Chair, if you don't mind me doing that from where I'm sitting.
That before we give to National Treasury, there are a question, but I don't know if you have the call for the Osaka presentation. If you have, one of the issues that they are raising, and which has been raised by the, which has been flagged by the Water General, for instance, the issue of over usage of consultants. Because at the end of the day, you budget 603 million. Maybe 203 million reaches the, what you call the municipalities. So it defeats the whole, what you call the purpose. Now, I'm not sure if you have a response for that. The SALGA says on slide 8, service providers will be used and not necessarily government skills. Do you want to comment on that?
Chair, I didn't have access to the...
But also the other... Yeah. Maybe National Treasurer will respond to the other comment that they are making, that they are saying, there's not new money. I think somebody must also respond to that or to create a comment.
Chair, in terms of capacity... We have to maximize the use of existing capacity first, and if there are gaps, there will be a need for us to utilize external consultancies to supplement as well. The municipalities, most of the municipalities that are targeted in the 23 DMs don't have technical staff in those municipalities to do the work. We don't, from our department, have sufficient technical staff to deploy to all of those municipalities either. So in one of my slides I indicated where we would be taking on additional contract staff to get the project going, but there will also be some reliance on the use of professional service providers in the form of engineers, specialists to do environmental assessments, contractors, in some cases where we have larger projects, albeit that I indicated that the first line of implementation is to make sure that these projects are implemented on a labor-intensive basis to make sure that we maximize the input by the communities when we implement the projects. But I think I would never be able to walk away here today, Chair, and say to you that we will not be using external service providers to supplement capacity. That's one of the realities we're going to face going forward. Thanks, Chair.
It's not what SALGA is saying. You yourselves, for instance, in slide 26, no, not 26, maybe 27. It's not what SALGA is saying in terms of the usage of, which we support, by the way, of a consultant, the over-usage. They are talking about the over-usage of consultants. They are not saying that you can't use consultants. But I know that in the previous presentations that we have received from yourself, we have spoken about transferring some of the people from your water scheme to municipalities. We really do not know what skills are there. Which we think that it is their time now to become useful, you know. But also, you have
the water boards on what you call it. But the issue that SALGA is raising, that we are raising as well, in support of what SALGA is saying, is that for the skills that are there, if you have water boards, you have those people that are in the water scheme, maybe you should not be using, you should really avoid, it should be a last resort, employing the use of other service providers, you know, because they limit, they defeat the whole purpose. Mr. Kenya?
Thank you, Chair. Don't let it ever be said that the National Treasury isn't generous. But I think to clarify on the 2 billion bid versus the 4.3 billion allocation, the department came to us with a bid that was 2 billion for 2 years, and you'll see that the first 2 years are about 2 billion, and that would take the department to that target at the end of July 2015. We looked at the work that the department had done, the work that Trevor outlined, that you know, that in response to the Honourable Swart's question about the preliminary preparatory work that had been done, as well as some of the work that Stephen's outlined, and we saw that there was a lot more that the department could do. The initial bid was focused largely about just getting water to those households that didn't have any access. We saw in the work that they had done that the department could also do a lot more in refurbishment and other areas, and so additional money was made available through the budget process. As you will be only too well aware following the last few years' budget, there is really no such thing as new money in the budget anymore. In the days of economic growth, there was new tax money that came. Now all money has to be saved. So Salga is quite correct in pointing out that only 1.8 billion is money that's added to local government conditional grants as a whole for this. That money is found from savings elsewhere, savings on provinces, savings on national departments, including elsewhere in the Department of Water Affairs. That's the new money, so to speak, but it's not really new. The rest of the money is reprioritized from the MIG. The MIG was that money was reprioritized from the MIG, and that meant that the MIG didn't face a cut in the savings exercise. Given the long-running history of underspending on the MIG would almost certainly have been subject to some form of savings to generate funds for other priorities during the budget process. So rather than do a savings exercise on the MIG, we rather reprioritize into this grant. So I think, you know, on net, I think local governments were really the beneficiaries there. We are still in talks with the department about fine-tuning how exactly this grant will be implemented. The decision is that it will be, you know, in the bill, in the act, it will be a direct grant to municipalities. It will be a Schedule 5 grant. That's the decision from the Minister's Committee on the Budget. That's how it's been tabled. But we will work on the details, and where there are cases where there is limited municipal capacity, either in the adjustment budget or in future budgets, we will look at whether there is a need to implement aspects of the grants or particular projects as indirect projects. This is a new grant. The department has done an incredible amount of work to prepare for it. But as both Salga and the committee members have pointed out, the implementation will be tremendously difficult. From the Treasury side, we are committed to working closely with the department to ensure that in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, in terms of the legalities, that we will make sure that we're there to support the department in finding ways to implement it. We very much take on board the concerns raised around operations and maintenance funding. We have, through the equitable share review process, tried to make it much, much more transparent to municipalities, to councillors, and to yourselves and to the public at large, how much money is available for different services, for different sectors, through the equitable share for water and sanitation. As I said, it's 16.1 billion for operations and maintenance. We've try to make it transparent even how much is for maintenance within those amounts, and we hope that that will serve as a better oversight tool. Getting the operations and maintenance right is really about building a much stronger system of local government. There's no one quick fix. We're trying from a number of different routes, and on the capacity side, we will brief the committee tomorrow. One of the areas in the Division of Revenue that we're adding money is to the Infrastructure Skills Development Grant, which is a training grant that funds engineering and science interns in municipalities. We're making quite substantial increases to that grant over the medium term, and that grant is training interns today, but those will be the municipal water engineers in a decade or two decades' time that are responsible for running these schemes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't know if the question was raised that this grant seems to be running for 3 years. I'm not sure if that question was raised. And what happens after 3 years?
At the moment, it's down for 3 years in the conditional grant framework. It says it runs until 2015-16, subject to review. As part of the budget process for next year, we will consider whether it is extended. It will also depend on the outcomes of the broader review of local government conditional grants. So where the grant will fit into the longer-term structure of local government conditional grants, and also, obviously, on the performance of the grant. So essentially, there's no firm decision on that yet.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I don't know if there are questions that you... any follow-ups, but I think that the questions were addressed. Honourable Mfulo.
Thank you, Sha. I can hear we are talking about labor-intensive jobs. I do believe those jobs are decent salaries. And, you know, because sometimes we talk about it's labor-intensive jobs, then the next minute it's only for 6 months, and the salary also there is not decent. Remember, we are talking about decent jobs. The salary is not good. You know, you get people getting about 600 and about 1,000. At the end of the day, they work so hard, and then you say you created jobs. That's what one of the things that makes people to become disgruntled. Now from Treasury, I just want to understand, they say the money comes from the savings that they have. And I've realized that Treasury likes to call underspending savings. Is it really savings, or is it the money that was not spent from departments? Now, because that money is there now, they call it savings. And I can also hear that there's training. I mean, I was thinking that because it's all departments, my understanding was to say if there's a shortage of skills and everything, they'll make sure that in the municipality, as much as they send, they are part of their staff there. There's also inside, I think those are the gaps that they pick up, like I said, what they were talking. Now, among those gaps, they should have come with an assisted income with a plan to the municipality, say, to cut this plan off, not being able to spend on the MIG. Maybe these are the things that you need to do so that we can move out onwards on that one. And I am just asking myself, in rural areas, how fast are we going to implement that? I know you've got plans that you're saying you're having. This plan is a national plan. I also want to see the plan that says now actual things, what is happening on actual ground. Because you say you've got a plan since 9 months back. Hey, up there, not down there. So can you have a plan that speaks down there and understand exactly what is going to happen by 1st of July? Thank you, Chair.
Now, I think, thank you very much, Comrade Mafula. I think that the question that you're raising is emphasis on the questions that have been raised. I think what you're saying is that in the next few months, we will really be watching what they are saying, ensuring that what they are telling us, it really happens. And one of the things amongst the issues, I'm trying to close now. I hope that everybody is satisfied with the question. Yeah. One of the things that I think that Mr. Balsa and the team has been raised here strongly is the involvement of SALGA. I mean, the Constitution speaks about organized local government. So there's no way, Mr. Murray, that you can think that if you're speaking to that municipality and that district and that district, then the consultation is sufficient, because those municipalities have elected SALGA to represent themselves, so that SALGA itself is satisfied that what is being done is they are satisfied in consultation with their own, what you call, experts in terms of the way forward. Nobody says in this house, Mamombas, nobody says in this house listening to everyone speaking, but no, we don't need this. Salga's first statement, they say we need it. That is the first thing that Salga says. However, they have concerns. In fact, one of the people we have not been content in consultation is FFC, that you need to, what you call it, to be consulting with as well. But I'm saying everyone supports this intervention, especially in view of what Mr. Kenyan is saying, that MEEC, and I think everyone agrees that MEEC has not been performing. But it's clear that there needs to be really more coordination and organization of this work in ensuring that the communities there have water. We're not saying that you should, you should be hiding behind the Constitution. No, not at all. But it's important to consult the role players that you need to consult. That can be what you call interpreted as hiding behind the Constitution. We have got to consult them. They have got to make input, because there's no one who is against one another here. All of us, we want this project to succeed. And with the input of everyone, so it can, what you call, and the advice of SALGA, especially in terms of the skills that exist there, surely they have a role. It can, what you call, succeed. The issue of the quick wins, ensuring that people have access to water, we all support it. I think all the issues that have been raised by one of the members in terms of maintenance as well of those structures that will be built there. But I think that in the next 3 months between today and June, end of June, you have identified 23 municipalities. And clearly, with your own capacity, you're not sure if all those 23 municipalities will be able to partake in this program. But you have identified them because you have identified the need out there. That's why, to me, the role of SALGA becomes critical, you know. How do we ensure that the 23 municipalities have a role to play? Because on this
water service authorities. Some of them, not all the districts have got the capacity to deliver water. You know better than I do that in some districts, it's local municipalities themselves that have better capacity to deliver the water. So I think that that consultation with SALGA assisting you in terms of each and every district, because it might not be all the districts that have been identified, but we would like to ensure that this service is extended to as many districts and local municipalities as possible. What really we don't understand very clearly and bit concerned about is that in terms of rolling out, you say you're going to ask for everyone who can play a role in terms of rolling out, including just looking for this slide, including water user, what you call it, organizations and NGOs. I'm a kind of what they call a skeptical about those. You know, I think that we just throwing money away. You know, here we must have to be very careful here. I think we must be very careful because our understanding of your interim measures, Honorable Singh asked about the long-term plan, this has been the short-term plan. I'm sure you want, when you move out, to leave a legacy. Now, if this legacy is for some NGO elsewhere and water user, what you call an organization or association, how does it assist government? So I'm saying, so I'm a bit skeptical about what we're saying here. But you have our support. You go out, you refine the plan. As members and SALGA have raised the concerns that they have raised, we will ask other people, especially like FFC, to also contribute in what can be done in order to make the plan a little bit better. Honourable members, I don't know if I've left anything, but if we agree, I'd like to thank SALGA, Dwa, and other people. Thank you very much. No, your department must check up. Please. I'm not mentioning it on purpose, but I think it needs to check up. Let it come to what you call it, to the party, you know. But for now, there's MISA involved here, and I'm not sure if Costa or the Cost is getting reports, but give us the impression that you are part of the game.